59. At this the Jews there began to grumble about him, because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent them draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'They will all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Then the Jews began to argue sharply among themselves, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever." He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. This is the word of the Lord.
We thank you, our dear Heavenly Father, for these words. And sometimes as we read the words from you, it is very difficult to accept. And sometimes we end up being confused. And sometimes when we read this particular passage from the Bible, we can end up being confused. So Lord, we pray that you would clarify this passage for us, that your Holy Spirit will speak into our minds and into our hearts. And our prayer is like Samuel, as you called him three times. Speak, Lord, for your servants hear. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and the people said, Amen. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. What does Jesus mean by these words? Some of his disciples find these words very difficult to accept. They call it a hard teaching or a hard saying. And according to John, who writes this gospel, he tells us that some of Jesus' disciples abandoned Jesus because of these words. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him, according to the end of John chapter 6. And they asked this question, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Is Jesus truly giving them his flesh to eat? And we know from the context of John chapter 6 that Jesus is not literally asking them to eat his physical flesh. And yet, Jesus says that his flesh is real food and his blood is real drink. What does Jesus mean by these words? How can his flesh be real food and his blood be real drink? Now, there are some who, reading this passage, say that Jesus is referring to the Lord's Supper or communion that we celebrate in this particular hall every month during the non-summer months. However, Jesus does not refer to the Lord's Supper at all in John chapter 6. In fact, Jesus will not refer to his supper until the end of John, just before he goes to the cross, on the night of the Jewish festival of the Passover. And as you all know, the Passover is when Israel celebrates how God frees Israel from slavery through the sacrifice of the Passover lamb. And yet, when Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper communion, he says these words, "Take it, this is my body. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." We must admit that the words of Jesus here in describing the Lord's Supper is almost like Jesus' words that we have read earlier. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up at the last day. For my flesh is real food and my blood is real drink." Jesus does refer to his body and his blood when he institutes the Lord's Supper. And after the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the early Christians share their faith all over the Roman Empire, from Jerusalem to Rome. And the early Christians meet in their homes. There is no such thing as a church building for the early Christians. And when these early Christians meet, they celebrate the Lord's Supper. And they use Jesus' words to celebrate the Lord's Supper or communion. And if you read some historical documents from the first 3 centuries AD, you will find many records of people not belonging to the early Christians saying that the early Christians are cannibals. Cannibals. Because the early Christians talked about eating Jesus' body and drinking Jesus' blood. So, the words of Jesus are not only misunderstood by his followers in John chapter 6, so that some of them leave him, the words of Jesus sometimes is also misinterpreted or misunderstood from people who do not share in the Christian faith. So I must say that Jesus' words sometimes are very difficult to accept. And we have again referred to his disciples leaving him, and we have also again referred to the early Christians being accused of being cannibals. So the question is, can we trust Jesus at his words? We know that both people who believe in Jesus and people who do not believe in Jesus find Jesus' words difficult to accept. Both people who go to church and people who do not go to church find Jesus' words difficult to accept. Can we trust Jesus? How can we trust Jesus when we find it so difficult to understand him? John Oliver, the host of the satirical news show HBO's Last Week Tonight, was interviewed by someone with this question. "Did you go to church a lot when you were growing up?" And this is how John Oliver responded. "I did until I was like 11 or 12, and I just didn't believe in it. There were some bad things happening then, and I just didn't care. I just didn't feel like there were many answers I liked coming from the church. There were kids at school who died, and my uncle dying was really devastating to me." When you ask a hard question And you were kind of brushed off at church with these words. Well, you know, it's God's will. Well, you know, it's God's will. That kind of knocked me out. If that's true, I want nothing to do with this. But you just can't say that it's God's will for these kids at school dying for no reason. That's not a good enough answer. You've got to wrestle with it a bit more than that. You've got to wrestle with it a bit more than that. I tend to agree with John Oliver. Life is complicated. It's more than just saying, well, you know, it's God's will. When we experience struggles in our life. And I believe that this is where prayer comes in. Jesus calls us to bring everything before Him in prayer. And I believe when Jesus calls us to bring everything before Him in prayer, that includes our doubts and our hurts. Because Jesus says this, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. I believe that the prayer life that Jesus calls us to is a dynamic prayer life. He calls us to seek Him in prayer even when His words are difficult. And this means presenting our doubts and our hurts to Him. So I would agree with some people who say, sometimes Jesus' words do not make sense. We don't understand what Jesus or God is doing in our lives. And it is not just His words in John chapter 6 where He claims that His flesh is real food and His blood is real drink. Sometimes things don't go well in our lives. We lose our jobs. We have a relational difficulty in our families. We are told we have cancer. And the list goes on and on. And when that happens, we have great difficulty understanding what God is doing in our lives. We have great difficulty in understanding Jesus' words to us. And then we ask this question, can we trust Jesus? Who is Jesus? And so I'm going to present one reason, I believe, why Jesus' words are very difficult to understand. And if we can read this verse together, it will throw some light into what we are trying to comprehend here. Let's read this verse, John 6:51. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. So, where does Jesus come from? Jesus tells us that He is the living bread who comes down from heaven. The living bread who comes down from heaven. Jesus is the Son of Man or the Son of God who comes down from heaven. And what is heaven? Heaven is where God is. When we read the word heaven in the Bible, because some of us tend to think, as it's referred to some place that's up there, we tend to understand heaven as a place. But heaven is actually more than a place. Heaven is where God is. And Jesus comes from a different place from us because Jesus comes from God. And that's why we have the celebration of Christmas every year. We celebrate Jesus coming down to be with us. When Patrick Taylor shared his story with us in May, he shared these verses in Isaiah 55 when Patrick was trying to explain the diagnosis of diagnosis of cancer in his life. And this is what he said, Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and neither your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Where does Jesus come from again? Jesus comes from heaven, from where God is. God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts, and heaven's ways, or God's ways, are higher than our ways. This is not to say that God will be some person who is not going to be able to explain to himself to us as we go on through life. No, as you know, there have been many times in our lives we have been blessed with God telling us why he did certain things in our lives. But very often, the answers are not clear-cut. And I believe that when Jesus comes from God to show us God, he doesn't just come to impose heaven's thoughts and heaven ways on us. I don't think that that is the reason why Jesus came to this earth. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day, or at the last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. I will raise them up at the last day. So why does Jesus come down from heaven? Why does Jesus come from God? Jesus comes from God to bring us back to God. Eternal life is more than just some quantifiable life that says we go on living forever and ever and ever. When the Bible talks about eternal life, it talks about a life being returned to be with God. It is Jesus who brings us back to God. And how? How does Jesus bring us back to God? And this is where the words come in here. Jesus gives us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink as a matter of what I call metaphor. He is using something that we do in everyday life, eating and drinking, to explain the faith that we need to have in Jesus. He is using eating and drinking to explain we need to trust Jesus completely as we go on to life. As we go on to life, wondering where we're going to eat or where we're going to drink, we need to put our lives in Jesus' hands. We are the people who have lost our way, and we do not know how to get back to God. It is only Jesus who can save us, and Jesus who can bring us back to God. So when Jesus says, and it's a very crude expression, let me just say, it's an extremely crude expression. When Jesus says, eat my flesh and drink my blood, he's saying this: trust me completely, no matter whatever happens. I will raise you up on that last day. I will take you to where you belong. And as you go on through life, I will be with you and I will feed you. I will give you food to eat and water to drink. That is what Jesus is saying. He's saying, trust me completely. Eat my flesh and drink my blood. And so it is a very, very difficult metaphor to understand, but we need to grab hold of it to understand the type of faith and trust Jesus is demanding from us. Now, As I said before, a text out of context is a pretext. And we have just read John chapter 6. How does John chapter 6 start? John chapter 6 starts with Jesus feeding 5,000 men, they say, so it's more if you count the women and children in, by the mountainside. And the crowds are there for a long time. And they are getting hungry. Andrew, from whom our church is named, St. Andrew. Andrew, the disciples. What does he do? He comes to God in prayer, if you like. He presents a boy with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. That's all Andrew has. And he presents it to God. And what does God do? God multiplies these 5 loaves and 2 fish and gives it abundantly to everyone by the mountainside. And there are 12 baskets of bread left. And then later on in John chapter 6, while they are in the middle of a storm, what does Jesus do? Jesus walks to them on water. And this, again, is a metaphor of how Jesus sometimes looks like someone who's walking on water in the middle of the storm. We can't completely comprehend him, but he gets into the boat and he calms the storm. Jesus is the living bread from heaven. Jesus is the man who comes from God, who feeds 5,000 and walks on the water. I arrived in Canada in August 1988. So it's now August 2018. So how many years do you think I've been in Canada? 30 years. I have been in Canada longer than I've lived in any other part of the world. Canada has become home to me. About 5 weeks ago, I was blessed to return to Malaysia for a trip with Luke. It was great to catch up with my dad, my brother, and the rest of the family. I visit dad in the house I grew up in, and of course, I eat all the food that I've been missing for a long time. I chat with the family, and I cannot deny what I call my Chinese-Malaysian roots. That was my first home. Don't get me wrong, it was great to return home to Canada 3 weeks ago. And each time I come home, I experience a jet lag. Malaysia is 12 hours ahead of us. So they are asleep while we are awake. And yet, it is more than jet lag that I have to experience. I must return and readjust in terms of my concept of home. Because I get confused. And I need to tell myself when I come back to Malaysia, home is not Malaysia with all its people and food. Home is Canada and Mississauga, where God has called me. And so, each time when I go back to Malaysia and return home, I'm caught in between, if you like, in between Malaysia and Canada. And I spend some time adjusting and trying to answer this question, where do I belong? And it takes me a while to try to understand and come to grips with it. So this, what I call disconnect, this disorientation that I experienced between Malaysia and Canada kind of reminds me that I'm a pilgrim on this earth, that I actually belong to another place. I actually belong to another place. Because I believe that when Jesus says, He is the living bread that comes down from heaven to bring us back to God. He is saying to all of us who put our complete trust in Jesus that we belong to another place. And that until we reach that place, we need to feed on Jesus. We need to drink His blood, quote unquote. And He will bring us to the place where we truly belong. And I believe that it is more than just trusting Jesus for the ultimate destination, because I believe that when we trust in Jesus, if you pardon the expression, it's more than a pie in the sky when you die experience. I believe that when we trust in Jesus, we need to trust in Jesus not only for the future, but also in the what I call the now, in the now. And so I keep telling myself, as I experience disorientation between Malaysia and Canada, that I need to keep on feeding on Jesus, if you like, and drinking his blood, because he is the bread of life. And ultimately, I keep needing to tell myself that life is more than Malaysia or Canada. Life is Jesus. Jesus is the bread of life. And that's why he says, he is the bread of life, or I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And that is what I believe that Jesus challenges us today to affirm in our lives, that he is the bread of life. And Jesus speaks to each person in this room now, and he says to you, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We are now going to go into a time of reflection. We're going to make our presentation to God in offerings. We're going to sing two hymns. And when we end for the day, we're going to say these words in our benediction. We're going to have a communal benediction. And these are the words we're going to say. And from now on until the benediction, Christ challenges you with these words. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. And I challenge you, can you read that final benediction with all your heart when we say it at the end of this worship gathering? So, Jesus, thank you for being the bread of life. Thank you, Lord, that you are indeed the man who came from God to bring us back to God. And we pray, Lord, that we will always be able to trust in you no matter whatever happens, that we will never go hungry, that we will never go thirsty. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and the people said, Amen.